is the anthem of the adventurer. The show for men who are tired of forsaking their dreams, who are willing to risk, to dare greatly, and know in their soul that their desire for adventure is good. It's time to venture into the wild places in our hearts. Here's your host, Dan Sayner.
Hello and welcome to the last interview I'm gonna have for a while. I know that's a really weird way to start a podcast, but it is true. The next episode after this one is going to be the last from me for a good long while I write my book. So I'm getting a little teary-eyed almost just thinking about this, because I love talking with new people, interviewing new people, meeting new friends, forming new relationships. I'm hoping that won't end just because I'm not recording a podcast anymore. So if you're listening to this thinking that, you know, I don't want to be friends anymore, that's not the case. I definitely still want to meet new people and be inspired by others, which is one of my favorite things about having a podcast. And the guy that you're going to hear from today, this is the reason I put him in the driver's seat for the final interview episode. There's going to be one more episode where I wrap things up, but man, Stephen Scoggins has quite the story. Stephen is an award-winning and successful entrepreneur, but it wasn't always that way. Growing up, life was really hard for him. When he was 22, he found himself homeless and on the verge of suicide, and he was angry, stuck, and just completely empty inside. And during that season, a mentor gave Stephen a second chance opportunity that he really didn't deserve. And from there, Stephen launched a multi-million dollar construction company and has gone on to launch 5 other successful businesses, ranging from real estate to thought leadership, with a top-line revenue of over $100 million. Now, he would be the first to say that the money and the fame and the accolades are not the most important thing about him. It's his relationship with Christ and his ability to disciple others. He uses the pain of his past and the lessons he's learned along the way to help people discover who they are, why they're here, and what to do about it. He's dedicated to the relentless pursuit of giving others the same gift of freedom he's received, and he offers practical and empowering education to those looking for a second chance to level up, catapult forward, make their dreams a reality. Without further ado, enjoy Stephen Scoggins. Welcome to another episode of The Anthem of the Adventurer. Super excited to share with you today, Stephen Scoggins, we've got here today. Man, I'm so excited to get to chat with you some more. We had a great conversation earlier this week. Stephen, welcome. This is going to be awesome.
Dude, so happy to be here. And gosh, man, I'm hoping God shows up big and he just shows out a little bit.
Yeah, I have no doubt in my mind that the spirit is thick between us today. I can feel it.
That's right.
So let's start off things right. I just love getting into it with a challenge from you to myself and the audience. What can we do after this episode airs to bring a little bit more adventure in our lives?
I'll tell you what, I'll give you the challenge that I'm currently doing.
Ooh,
how about that?
Love it.
The challenge that I'm currently doing is threefold. One, wake up early. Two.
Are we exercise. Talking like Jocko early? Or
I mean, Jocko's early. Up at 4. I'm up at 5.
Okay. So normal people early.
Normal people early. Yeah. And then obviously get some exercise in. But while you're doing that, you know, I do some reading and learning, either audiobooks, something like that. And the third part, I think, is the most important part. By telling my day what to do, I've created the bandwidth to put my stinking phone away and spend time with my family.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our team members actually just recently did this. One of my leaders here, he grabbed a basket and everybody has to put their phone in the basket for a certain amount of time. And it's unbelievable how much the connection is already growing. So step 1, wake up early. Step 2, work out, do something. And when I say work out, mind, body, spirit. Do something to work your mind, body, and your spirit. Step three, carve out a specific time of day where you get rid of the digital stuff and actually connect with the people you love most.
Mm, man, love that. I've been, I don't remember if we talked about this when we were on earlier, but just finished Dallas Willard's book, Life Without Lack. I know I'm a little late on that, but
no worries. I mean, all these guests, dude, you can't read but so many books at one time.
It's
true.
You really can't. And I'm trying to very much, take Dallas's words to heart of, you should only read very few books and those deeply. So I don't read that many books, but I take like two or three passes at them. But anyway, so one of the things that he talked about was planning the night before. If you really want to have a day with Jesus, you can't just wing it. Sure, he will show up, but he's going to show up more often if you are present and inviting him.
Yeah.
And so, say, hey, look, first thing I get up in the morning, like you're saying, I get up early. We work out our mind, body, spirit, and we set our intention for the day every couple hours to spend a few minutes with the people that are most important
absolutely
to us, including Jesus and our family.
Absolutely. And no, it's funny. One of the questions I get all the time is, which is kind of mind boggling to me, but it's like, what's your routine? What do you do every day? I'm like, it's kind of like using Instagram stories now. They got me using Instagram stories now. Like, people really care what I'm eating. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Anyway. I kind of look at it like this. You have to have a reinforceable routine. Yeah. I mean, I was able to share part of my backstory with you last time we were catching up a little bit. So, short synopsis, homeless, now I own 7 companies, employ lots of amazing people. So there's obviously a huge testimony in the middle of that. But for the time being, one of the defining factors of leveling up specifically came down to, I wake up at the same time every morning. My first 15 to 20 minutes is time with God, is time of giving thanks, is time in that prayer mode. I then head off to the gym. Again, the same challenge I just kind of issued to the listeners and watchers. Where I actually intentionally focus on one specific area of my life on a day basis. So for example, I wake up at 5, I hit the gym. While I'm at the gym, I'm doing mind, body, and spirit. I mean, I'm listening to some kind of content, consuming some kind of content that benefits me in such a way that allows me to grow in specifically in that area. Cause I'm a big believer in focus. So focus creates momentum. Momentum creates opportunities. Opportunities create advancement. Okay. Well, in order to do that, there's really, what I refer to as the 8 pillars of life. So 8 core areas. Zig Ziglar had his will of life, which had 7 areas. All I did was I bolted on one that I created a new word called contributional. Okay. And I'll mention that in a couple of seconds. But the reason I do that is, like, on a Monday morning, for example, I'm going to focusing on my emotional well-being. How do I amplify and or become stronger in my emotional life? Over and over again on Monday. So I have a focus there. On Tuesdays, I'm on financials. So how do I continue to run successful companies? How do I continue to guard myself against debt? How do I continue to make sure I've got the money I need to make sure my children are kind of like taken care of college-wise? And when I was obviously homeless, it was all about getting out of debt and kind of building my way back up, right?
So,
and what I do is I choose a specific area of life to allow me to create momentum in each area of life on a consistent basis. And to this date, I haven't ran across anybody else that kind of views it that way, but that's exactly the core step that I began taking in order to build my life in such a way that allows me to kind of be where I'm at today.
That's awesome. I like that approach of, okay, where are the most important things in life? Mm-hmm. And I would put it, it sounds like you would, what things do I need to be confident in in each of those areas of life?
Yeah.
And then what experiences do I need to have that confidence? And what do I need to learn and practice to be able to gain that experience? So I like how you're being intentional about your study and not just it being a content zombie like so many of us are.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you look at it, God told us in the Bible, he said, you got to count the cost before you build the house. Right. I mean, it's in Proverbs. I just kind of paraphrase, but it's the same principle, right? We all are trying to really answer 3 questions in life. Who am I? Why am I here? And what do I do about it? Right.
Yeah.
Well, you can't ever answer those questions unless you're creating that bandwidth that we were talking about with the prayer time to actually receive the data that's going in and out. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So many times when we look at prayer, and I know that I did this for myself, when I looked at prayer, it was all me doing the talking. God, are you listening? Yeah. Did you not hear what I asked for? Like we need a new car. We need a new house. I need to get out of debt. I need to get off the street. Like I need to do all these. I need. And the crazy thing happened was when I began moving from talking and began moving towards listening, all of a sudden it was like a download stream was starting to give me the tactics and the strategies. And one of those came out with, don't be distracted. If you want to create momentum, the easiest way to do that is to avoid distractions and remove distractions.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm personally freshest in the morning. Some people might be night owls, so meaning they might have a night shift. Whatever your morning is for you, the very first moment you wake up, give of your first fruits.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So I don't know if that helps at all, but for some reason that was resonating on my heart.
Yeah. You know, let's dig into that deeper because I am an easily distractible person.
Like me too.
Squirrel. Yeah. So for those of us who identify as, you know, Doug the dog from the movie Up and are distracted by the closest shiny or furry object, like what are some of the things that you partner with God in on to help, I don't know if combat is quite the right word, but you know, at least lessen the power of distractions.
What is the opposite of distraction?
Focus.
Exactly. What's in between? Intentionality.
Ooh. Yeah.
Intentionality. Yeah. When you begin looking like, so for example, I've got teenagers. They're actually young adults now. I got 19 turning 20 turning 21 and kids wise. And I got I got a grandchild here and a grandchild on the way.
Wow, man.
All of them, especially in this particular generation where there's a cell phone at every turn, there's another dinging device. Like I've got do not disturb on all of my devices right now. So while we're spending time together, I can be solely with you in this conversation, right? I had to do the same thing with my kids. You know, one of the things that my youngest son came to me recently is he goes, I want the kind of lifestyle that you have. And I'm like, are you sure?
Be careful what you wish for.
I was like, are you sure? He's like, well, I think so. Well, you know, without all the homeless stuff, I could do without that. I'm like, well, I understand that. And he goes, here's the thing. If you are going to have the kind of lifestyle that I have, you're going to have to do the things that I do. You're going to have to learn how to think the things that I think. You're going to have to learn to feel the way that I feel. You're going to have to learn the way in which I pursue attitudes and things of that nature.
Yeah.
All of that requires intentional focus, intentionality. In other words, when you want to not do it, you do one of two things. Either you do it anyway, or you put a reinforceable routine that makes you do it anyway.
Yeah.
So here's an example of that. My son, who I just mentioned before, is currently working inside one of the businesses right now, specifically in the graphic arts department, doing a great job. Okay. But it was when he first started with the company, like I would walk back there and it was like, I had perfect timing. I'd see him on a stinking phone. I'm like, dude, put the phone away. 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 It's not really that big a deal. It is that big a deal, right? You know, it's just a mentality shift, right? Because the generations that are currently kind of like growing up in the world are incredibly connected, but not in the right ways.
Yeah.
So what we've been trying to do as part of our little internal family challenge, which I alluded to at the beginning of the show, is create space to create focus. Without the space to be focused, then inevitably what happens is you stay confused and overwhelmed.
That's
the number one primary reason people stay overwhelmed is because they won't slow down. I'm dead serious.
I chuckle because I have been there so often.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but like even for me, like, so I'm like, for example, I actually enjoy video games. I'm kind of a geek. I enjoy superheroes and Marvels. Yes. And like all that kind of stuff. I have a lightsaber in my office and, you know, just silliness. But, you know, I've had to literally put boundaries in place, especially like when I'm writing a new book or something like that. I have to put that stuff in place to begin to use those things as now a reward.
Yeah. I get an hour of MechWarrior 5 tonight if I write 500 words or, you know, 5,000 words or something. Yeah,
exactly. Rather than, well, an hour is not going to really matter. It's just an hour that we know is going to turn into three or four.
Mm-hmm. And then you're going to stay up too late and it's going to impact your sleep, which is the foundation of everything.
And then the spouse is not happy and the kids aren't happy and you're not being connected, you know? And the reality is if you don't work on that behavior now, it's going to become a real problem by the time you're 45, 50, 60, 70, just on and on and on and on and on.
Yeah.
And I'm finding that the most successful people on the planet, no matter what genre that is, okay, successful in relationships, successful in finance, successful in business, successful in the podcasting world, just like what you've been doing so well for so long, all requires focus.
Yeah.
We had to stop time, had our mutual friend connect us and said, y'all need to know each other and y'all should do a show. Right. Which means we had to stop, do a little checking. Do I like this guy? Does he like me? Okay, this is cool. This could be kind of cool. And then we become fast friends.
Yeah.
And all of that because we stopped long enough to see what the opportunities were. So the number one thing that eliminates distraction is intentionality.
Yeah.
That is a conscious choice. One of the number one things that I've been doing in my life for the last decade is living by conscious choice rather than subconscious reaction.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I know that? Okay. So the number one thing that I'll do, for example, if I have a problem, meaning I have a result that I'm not crazy about, I will actually stop myself and say, Steven, why are you not happy with that result? Was it an expectation or was it somehow offline with what you were hoping for? Okay. Well, great. All right. Now I got the answer to that question. Well, now that I know that question, how do I drive it all the way back to the root cause? Was there a thought, an action, a relationship, or something in the way that created the dominoes to operate against me rather than for me?
Mm.
And by doing that, that allows me to stop in the moment, figure out what happened, and then get back on track and say, okay, well, what's the opposite of the action that I took that created the negative result that I didn't want to begin with? What's the opposite? In other words, had I done that, this would have happened.
And how can I set myself up to do that better action? Is it a mindset thing? Is it, mm-hmm. is it an environmental change? Is it, you know, I just need to be around different people or I need to not have beer in my fridge anymore. You
know? Exactly. I mean, it's crazy. We give ourselves so much room to slack and not be all that God has for us to be. And then we beat ourselves up for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. We were talking offline a couple of days ago and we were talking about the importance of men feeling constantly isolated, which is one of the reasons I love what you've been doing is because you're bringing community together. Because I don't know about you, but I'm a dude and I'm a father. I'm a business owner. I'm a husband. Right. I'm now, you know, someone who's in certain circles considered a thought leader. I've got a lot of responsibility. And it took me forever to be humble enough to say, guys, I'm discouraged. I need help. I'm not having a good day.
Yeah.
Rather than trying to be Superman and superhero all the time.
I was just reading this morning a news story about how, you know, it's a real problem for men now to mm-hmm. build friendships at all. Yeah. And especially deep friendships of mm-hmm. just, yeah. we live in isolation and we've got this John Wayne mentality, which is going mm-hmm. away, but even so, yeah. even if you haven't got that as your framework of masculinity, there's still yeah. very real difficulty of finding other guys who are like, hey, is it okay to be vulnerable? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Are you cool with that? Cause I'm cool with that. And like, it takes effort. And yeah. frankly, guys just don't want to put in the work.
Well, most of the time. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Where does that come from? That comes from us competing with each other through like exactly. elementary school and then high school. Everything's a competition.
Yep.
And then from the time that we're born to the time that we become men and or what I refer to as quasi-men, because to be a man is yeah. different than an age, right?
Yes.
Right. When it comes down to it, we have been taught we're supposed to be the knight in shining armor. We watched all the superhero movies. We watched all the G.I. Joes, all the Thundercats, all the Transformer movies, right? Oh, right. Wait, seriously. I mean, we've gone through all these different yeah. processes and the entire time we're taught to be, we have to be the strong one. We have to be the self-sufficient one, right? Meanwhile, our future brides to be have been taught that they're supposed to be the princess and they're waiting in theory, waiting on a knight in shining armor, which means we all grew up with an unhealthy identity masculinity and femininity actually looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So when you, by the time you get to where we are at right now, now you're saying, seriously, it's safe. It's safe to have a friend. What do you mean? He's going to steal my girl. Well, it's safe to have a friend. What do you mean? He's got a nicer car than I do. You see what I'm saying? This constant like tug of war of comparison. And as a result, you know, men like myself and I'm sure millions of others have been in that situation where we're like, we actually lose sight of who we are in general.
Yeah.
Right. And what value we can actually offer and stuff like that. We tie too much to it, yeah. You know, which is one of the reasons why I've always been this, like, I'm always trying to focus on taking daily actions to make daily progress.
Mm-hmm.
And then rather than condemning myself and when I screw up and I make a mistake and whatever, I do what Jesus told us to do to begin with. Love one another as I have loved you. And that includes loving yourself.
That is it. Just such a huge revelation for myself included, for so many people, of like, you know, that love your neighbor as yourself mm-hmm. thing means you got to love yourself well. Like, you'd be a pretty crappy neighbor exactly. if you actually loved your neighbor how you love yourself sometimes.
Exactly. Well, and I was had an interview I did not too long ago with a New York Times bestselling author. His name is James Altucher. He's had several books. He's a very interesting dude, super fun to be around. And he had a book that came out that's called Skip the Line. Definitely worth reading.
Mm.
And the one key concept that I applied immediately to my life is to stop looking at my life as wins and losses, but instead start looking at my life as little experiments.
Mm.
Because you take the pressure off. You take the pressure off of having to be perfect or having to be right or having to be somehow invincible, because we all know we're not, right? If we were truly invincible, we wouldn't need the God that actually has created the universe mm-hmm. and created a path for us, right? I think he uses those things to teach us on a consistent basis to basically lean into the unknown.
Yeah, which is what we talk about, you know, how we define adventure really is that unknown, which is where God shows up. Like,
exactly.
We got to go into those unknown spaces where we're going to look like an idiot if God doesn't show up. Like, that's what adventure is.
And we're doing a lot of that right now on my side.
I'm doing plenty of that.
but you think about it though, how do we get to where we're taking bigger and bigger and bigger gambles on God? And maybe that should be the theme of the show, is how do we take bigger and bigger gambles on God, right? The way in which I now take gambles on God. So I own multiple businesses, but each one of them, when I started them, were scary steps forward. Okay. My construction company, for example, the flagship that I started when I was homeless, 1998, I started with the materials out of the trash piles. Now, in that moment in time, I wasn't trying to think about building a very large scale construction company. I was like, how do I get shelter? How do I get food? How do I get clothes so I'm not cold? Like, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I've used that one example in my own life repeatedly of when I didn't know what the next step was. You know, we're bringing back a major live event called Transform You Live. We're doing it for the first time in 2 years in October.
Awesome.
Right. Right. The COVID threw a monkey wrench. We're doing a hybrid live event. Like, it's a hybrid. You can watch virtually or you can watch live. All right. All of that is scary because I'm like, is the technology right? Is the pipeline right? Have I made a deep enough connection so people know I'm sincere? Do I have the right speakers that I'm partnering with?
Yeah.
And there's absolutely no way to know. No, there's no way to know. It's like, but God, I feel like God is saying, I created you to impact lives at scale. Just like I think he's done for you.
Yeah.
Right.
It's crazy. You mentioned, I want to get a bit vulnerable with you and the audience here. Like, you mentioned, like, you're successful at podcasting. Like, I'm actually not. And I'm okay with that, because what I'm following is what the Holy Spirit has told me. And it's mm-hmm. different throughout this whole 4 years I've been doing this thing. Sometimes it's been commit to doing it weekly. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's, I don't want you to record another episode until I tell you to.
Yeah.
You need to take some time off.
Yeah.
Like, really? Like, that's not how you grow a following, God. Like, have you paid attention to, you know, all the people who do the podcasting thing? That's not what they do. And
I would disagree with you in that I think that you are a successful podcaster because you've chosen to take the step of faith to put a podcast out there.
I'll agree on that point. Yeah.
So many people who have a great message or have the ability to be an orator or ability to be a great interviewer or ability to build relationships never take the step.
It's true.
They never take the step. And the fact that you go and invest in a microphone, you go and invest in a camera, you go ahead and start planning out the day, you to spend time scheduling, you spend time trying to put yourself in the most unique of circumstances to interview some of the most interesting people on the planet. I've listened to many of your episodes. I can tell you that there are drops of gold in every last one of them if someone is listening to it. Now, who listens to it? Whoever God sends.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So I don't judge success by size. I judge success by impact.
Yes. I like, so thank you. And I like how you rephrase that. And maybe I should have been more precise and not successful from the worldly standpoint.
Okay.
The metrics wouldn't say I'm successful, but as you mentioned, it's the impact, it's the, the depth, it's the connection. And it's the feeling of success and the fact that it's more sustainable over time. But getting back to kind of your journey and how, like, let's say there's a guy out there who's, man, I'm thinking one of my buddies now, who I won't name, but who is just a couple of steps beyond where you were when you were starting that construction business. And I'm getting choked up. I care for this guy and I need to reach out to him. It's been a couple months since we've spoken. It gets back to our masculine friendship theme as well. It is hard to keep friendships these days, especially if you have things that you disagree about. So let's say you're that guy and you're on your way up, but you may not know that next step, or you may not have the category for, you know, this listening prayer with God. Like, where do you get started in all of that?
This is going to sound super simplistic, but it's true. You just take the next step. So, for example, when I was trying to build a company, we'll say that I've been in business roughly 2 years. I hadn't really monetized the business. I was still barely making enough income to take care of my living expenses. And at the time, my living expenses, I don't know, were somewhere around $1,200 a month. Like, that was everything. That was long before we really had the internet, like, you know, at what we have now. We had the Internet Explorer, like Windows 95 or something running, right? And for me, the next step has always been to just get up and do it again. And I don't mean like do the same dumb things over and over.
Yeah.
But how can I make today better than yesterday? And that has been my lens the entire time. And that's how I came up with, hey, look, I'm going to wake up at 5. I began to build my routine. You know, but the easiest way to do this is to start with what you want in mind. And it's okay to dream big.
Yeah.
As long as you can come back to what you think you're going to accomplish in the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever genre that is, relationships, finance, business, whatever. Okay. What do I think my ultimate goal would be? My ultimate outcome would be in the next 12 months. Great. Got that down. Okay. What are 6 micro steps or 6 micro things I need to win at to make sure that accomplishes that? Okay, that gives me that. Okay. Okay, well, what are the action steps I need to make the micro steps happen? Okay, you get that. Now, that's all over like business 101, life 101, whatever. Okay. We go to war all the time with strategies and plans, but we don't manage our lives with the same diligence. Kind of crazy.
That's true.
Okay. Now, if you take the action steps, the milestones, and the outcome that you've already kind of predetermined, and I burn up a notepad. I'm serious. This is where it started.
Oh, yeah.
I burn up a notepad, and I'm writing down, this is my aspirations. This is what I'm hoping for. This is what I'm going after. The one step that I was missing was creating a reinforceable routine that kept me on track. In other words, let's assume here's a silly example, but it should be kind of color, make it a little more colorful. Let's assume just for a moment that I hate waking up. I can't get out of bed to save my life. Every time my alarm clock goes on, I'm going to hit the snooze button. And as a result, I'm missing opportunities. I'm missing time with God. I'm missing time with my family. I'm not getting to my business or my organization in an early enough fashion to show that I really want the next level. Right. And I'm telling myself, I want the next level. I want that promotion. I want that beautiful relationship. I want to spend time with my kids. I want to do baseball and do the ballerina and do all the stuff. But your actions aren't saying that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the difference? Well, the difference is the reinforceable routine is, Joker, buy 6 stinking alarm clocks and place them all around your bedroom and set them off in 1 minute increments. I'm dead serious. Buy yourself, especially now in today's time, buy yourself the stinking light switch that comes on by itself.
Oh yeah.
Okay. All of these things are disruptions to behavior patterns. Okay. When you can learn to disrupt your behavior pattern, then you can take that same disruption and create a framework around it. Do I feel like I'm getting up at 5 a.m. every morning? No. Some mornings, yes. Some mornings I'm already in my bed, like praying before I even get out of bed. Some moments I have to force myself to go into my closet and kneel down for a little while.
Yeah.
Right. The consistency is what breeds the overall like way forward, the momentum, if you will. So to your friend, I would say no matter what that next level is, what can you do to force you to take actions that you don't want to take, even though you know you need to take them? And whatever that is, that now becomes part of that new framework. I got to have my butt. Maybe I have Jocko Willink. He calls me at 4:30 a.m. said, "Dude, are you up?" And he's already got a picture of his watch on Instagram, right? Whatever that is, if it's alarm clocks, if it's light switches, that's where you start. Because until you start breeding momentum or building momentum, you're not going to be able to bust through the things that are standing in your way.
Yeah.
Does that help? Mm.
Yeah, that's really good. And kind of, man, just from your story and how you've been able to build that momentum just gets me thinking of like, and we've got so many quote unquote unsolvable issues in this world. And one of them is homelessness. And you know, so many of us have a heart for the lost, heart for the marginalized, and don't know where to start helping people. Mm-hmm. And what I think I'm hearing you say is, you know, you don't necessarily have to go out to inner city Chicago and mm-hmm. start being a philanthropist or whatever, but hey, maybe you know a guy who's down on his luck.
Yeah.
And yeah, you go wake his ass up at 5 a.m.
Exactly. No, and I mean, it can literally be that simple. If it's all right with you, I'll tell you a quick story to illustrate what it is. Sure. So, as I've become, financially more and more independent, all right, I have various organizations that, you know, and it goes with the territory. It's part of the mantle, right? Part of the responsibility. They come to me every so often and they want funding for this or want funding for that. You know, I want me to at least contribute to the funding for this or that. Well, they used to have this organization called the Philanthropy Roundtable, okay, to which I was invited at, okay? I go and sit down at this table. When I say the top income earners on the planet were in that room, I'm saying guys that make 9, in some cases, 10 figures. Okay. That's consistently. All right. I am the only person in that room that has the backstory that nobody else has.
Yeah.
What I witnessed really bothered me in that I saw people again competing. One, you know, I had two individuals, I won't name their names or anything like that because luckily this was a few years back, but it was almost like they were bragging about how many children they adopted. As a way to kind of one up somebody else. Okay.
Yeah.
I watch people say, well, stand up proudly. I'm like, well, I gave $2 million last year to this organization and that organization. Okay. Great. But you're not supposed to, the world's not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to let your left hand know what the right hand's doing. Right. That's the principle I'm off of. And I listened to these types of conversations as they were trying to solve homelessness, poverty in the foster care system specifically. Yeah. Okay. Three of my hearts, which is probably why I got invited to the room.
Yeah.
But as a result, they're supposed to be having a dynamic conversation, as they refer to it, of how to solve this problem. And they would name this program and they would name that program and they would name this program. And all these folks were interested in that moment was signing a check.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They didn't care if it had an ROI. So when I give to organizations, for example, I give expecting an ROI, meaning I don't necessarily expect them to make me money.
Sure.
But I expect them to make impact happen.
Yeah.
Like I want to see someone who has not been successful for the last 5 years, all of a sudden wear clean clothes again.
Yeah.
Or have 3 square meals a day again. And so many times the secret is in the little stuff, not the big stuff. So as a result, I think I finally had enough during this interaction. Finally had enough. I was sick of it. So I stood up And I said, you know, because I got to, you know, I'm kind of like, I got to go kind of thing. I said, hey guys, I'm just curious, by a show of hands, how many of you guys have a 4-year degree or better? And everybody's like, look at me, I do. How many of you guys consistently have a net income of, you know, set between 7 and 9 figures? I do. All right. Awesome. How many of you guys have ever been incarcerated?
Mm-hmm.
Quiet. How many of you guys have ever been homeless? Quiet. How many of you guys have ever fostered a child? Quiet. Essentially, I felt like the room needed to be checked. Okay.
Yeah.
And the reason I felt like the room needed to be checked is because I was the only one. I think God, and I think that's an opportunity that God put me in that room, because essentially I was like, well, here's the thing. I haven't been incarcerated. I'm not technically a foster son, but that's kind of my experience. I kind of bounced around a little bit growing up, but I have been homeless and I have been hungry. And I have wanted to give up. I've wanted to throw in the towel. I've wanted to take my life. I've wanted to walk away. And yet I'm still here. You guys can throw millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars at these programs. But if those programs do not work on the root of that person's life, the belief systems, the mindsets, the attitudes, the emotional states, the traumas, the triggers, you're never going to see the transformation. Because if you can't change the root of someone's life, you can't change the fruit of someone's life.
Yeah.
Fortunately for me, I had people like Steve Myrick and Susan Batts and a few other people along the way that I shared with you off air that radically changed the way in which I thought. So your buddy, for example, maybe he's a couple steps above. He's grinding it out. He's trying to make his dream a reality. Okay. He's going to be pulled in 1,000 different directions. Yeah. How can he increase his focus? How can he multiply his time? And how can he make a difference?
Yeah.
If you can do those things, you can have a life well lived along with a business with it.
Mm. Something that kind of reading between the lines here, I like what you said about the need to affect the root to be able to affect the fruit. You need to have good soil around that root.
You really do.
You know, and a lot of, pardon my French, a lot of bullshit goes into making good soil.
Yeah.
It even says it right in the Bible. So, you know, it's paraphrase, Morgan Snyder's paraphrase, right?
But it's probably a sheep, but who cares?
Yeah, exactly. Some sheep. But, you know, there are some tough things that make good fertilizer. And you need a supportive environment to stabilize those roots. You need nutrients. You need water. And you need, you know, all the things that go into making a plant thrive. So it's not, I think what I'm hearing you say is you need to affect the environment around a person so that they can then stabilize their root system and then bear fruit.
Exactly. And to piggyback on that a little bit, because that's a brilliant assessment. To piggyback on that a little bit, you also have to be willing to be unpotted and repotted on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Because when I started out my vision or my dream of what I thought my life was going to be, my pot was about that yay big, like the Michael's little craft store, right? Yeah. It barely holds a pencil in it, right? Well, at some point in time, that tree is going to outgrow that pot, that base, or it's going to be stunted in its growth.
Yeah.
Okay. So as a result, using my life as an example, I had to remove myself from certain people.
Mm-hmm.
I had to remove myself from certain areas of the city. I had to remove myself from certain areas or ways in which I communicated with myself.
Yeah.
All of those are uprooting yourself and putting yourself in more fertile ground.
Yeah.
You know, I forgot who it was, but they were talking about the, you know, we're all asking God, I need a bigger house. Kids are growing fast. Babies are coming. I need a bigger house. God, I need a bigger, please bless my business. Please make it explode with radical provision. And I'll bless the world if you bless me. But not one time in the Bible did God do it that way.
Nope.
Right? He does it two ways. Number one way is, be faithful with the little, and I'll make you master over much. The second way is, I know you asked for a table, but here's an acorn. Right? Both of those are pursuing those little areas with excellence. And if you pursue those little areas of excellence, I remember this time I was in a church and I was in a situation, I was in a pretty decent area in life, and I'm sitting in the church and I had bought a sports car, and that was a used sports car. It wasn't like super fancy, but it was nice to me. And I was sitting in the church and I've been driving it around for several weeks, and I was enjoying it. I go to this church, I sit down in the pew, and God says, give me the keys.
Ooh.
I literally put the keys in the offering plate.
Man.
Now, I've never shared that publicly. I'm only doing it for illustration purposes only.
Yeah.
Because the people that get most distracted, right? The people who are most unwilling to gamble on God are just like the rich ruler in the Bible. They're the ones that are so tied to their belongings and their things and their aspirations that they forget where the time, the talents, and the strengths come from.
Yeah.
So it's that element of worshiping the creation, not worshiping the creator. So I challenge everybody. Maybe this is a bonus challenge.
Yeah.
Do something this week that costs you something. Spend an extra hour with somebody, even though you don't have the time. Offer an extra $100 to your church, even though you don't have another $100. Or maybe not, you don't have another $100, but you'd rather keep that money to go out and go shopping or go to the movies. Deny yourself something little and watch God do something big with it.
Man, we're going back to Dallas Willard here. If those listening haven't read Life Without Lack yet, definitely pick it up. But he has this illustration of kind of a three-part recurring cycle of faith, death to self, and love.
Yes.
And if you want to grow in faith, you need to deny yourself.
Yep.
If you want to grow in love, it comes first with self-denial.
Yep.
And you can only grow in faith by growing in love.
the only word that I would choose that would be different is the one in the middle. I actually don't think you have to deny to yourself. I think you have to surrender yourself.
Yeah, that's another great way to put it. Yeah.
Because I can tell you that I had some pretty painful moments in my life. In fact, ironically, I caught an episode of you and Sean Bowles recently. And he was actually at an event where God showed up in a big way. And I don't even know if he'll allow me to be his friend anymore. But
Sean seems like a pretty gracious guy.
He's a great dude. He really is. But one of the things that came out of that was I had a situation with him. And now I'm going to be transparent with you guys listening and you watching. I went through a pretty massive business, unexpected reversal about 3.5 years ago. I had been working towards creating a live event. I had been working towards my first book. I felt like I was doing all the right things for all the right reasons. I wasn't necessarily putting myself out there to get famous and stuff like that. But in doing so, I had a management team with one of my businesses that had been with me for, in some cases, 10 and one guy, 12 years, one guy, 15 years. Okay. For some reason, they thought it was in their best interest to, for lack of a better word, try to embezzle money and create a competitive and all this kind of stuff. The night before I'm supposed to step on stage. Okay. And teach for 3 days straight. As a result, when you go through this particular issue, I was asking God, I was wise enough and mature enough to say, God, I know I'm not asking why me, but I am asking, what am I supposed to learn from this? Because I had spent over 3 years creating an entire framework, a curriculum, if you will, for people like myself that would ultimately lead them to people like myself, right? From two to from. And I couldn't, for the life of me, I couldn't understand it. And then about 9 months goes by. Maybe it's 10, but it's in a almost a year's time frame. I hadn't heard from God at all. And maybe, in fact, I'm actually feeling this right now. This is for somebody that's listening. I had not heard from God, not a single peep. And I'm somebody who up until that moment felt like I had a pretty deep connection with God. I felt like he spoke to me. you know, call it a nudging, sometimes call it an internal whisper, call it whatever you want. People that are open to God's voice tend to hear God's voice just in general, okay, in different ways. And I literally went from that moment of feeling like I was always in his presence and always hanging out with him and he was super cool to nothing. Nothing. And that process went on for about 9 or 10 months.
Mm.
9 or 10 months later, out of the clear blue, this is exactly what I hear. I never said you weren't going to use it, but you're not going to use it for your glory. You're going to use it for mine. And I wept like a baby.
Yeah.
There was two things that he told me in that effort. First of all, that even through my best intentions, my heart was not necessarily in the right direction. It was almost like it was 2 degrees off. Mm-hmm. But if you let 2 degrees off go long enough, all that of a sudden you're 1,000 degrees off.
Long way off.
Exactly. And as I understood that, I understood the love that was actually in that correction and that lesson. Okay. The second thing that I learned from that environment was that what I thought was dead, not only was he going to resurrect it, but he was going to make it new. So what I'm doing now is very different than what I was doing then, and it's elevated.
Mm.
Okay. So why do I think this matters? I think it matters today because oftentimes it's really difficult to gamble on God when you feel like he's not there.
Yeah.
So here's what I would say to that. If you feel like God is not there, continue leaning his direction. One. Step two, or item two, be in a place where you understand fully that teachers are always quiet during the test. You have never had a teacher come and interrupt you while taking a test at school and start filling in the blanks for you or start answering the questions for you. Instead, what the teacher does is the teacher allows you to take the knowledge and the experience in which you have gained to use that to pass a test to go to another level.
Ooh, that hits me where I live.
Again, I feel like that this is an important message for a lot of folks, and I'm glad. I'm always happy when he shows up and does his thing. If you are going to gamble on God, maybe you don't gamble on God at $100 million. Maybe you don't gamble on God at $100. Maybe you gamble on God at $4. Maybe you gamble on God by sitting down. In fact, I'll tell you this, one of the most transformational moments that I had in my entire life was actually sitting down. I bought lunch and I sat down with a couple of homeless people and I just had a conversation with them. And this was before I became homeless myself.
Mm.
I know what it's like to have people walk past you. I know what it's like to have people intentionally ignore you. I know what it's like to have people look down upon you as you are less than. But the Bible says that those that are less than are the very ones God focuses most energy on.
Mm.
Those that are most proud are typically the most that are furthest away from God. Now, God loves us all. And his heart, in my opinion, is that all would be part of his program, all part of his family, if you will. But you're not going to do that if you don't take the baby steps of faith in order to create the giant leaps of faith.
Yeah. Man. I wish we had 3 more hours to talk about that, but
we can always do this again, my friend.
I know. Unfortunately, we don't today, but we can, we can always have a part two or three or whatever you're up for. I think this is a good place to give people an on-ramp into what you're up to and how to follow along in that bit of to Stephen, right? So where can people connect with you and the great work that you and your teams are doing?
Oh man, I appreciate that. Yeah. I'm most active on Instagram. I do, you know, daily stories and stuff there. But, if you're listening now or watching now and you're in a position of life where you're tired of doing the same thing over and over again, you're keep hitting the head on the same ceiling and you can't seem to bust through the ceiling. I know what that's like. It's frustrating. You feel like you want to throw in the towel. You feel like you want to give up. I want to invite you to do something different. I want you to invite myself and 12 other amazing world-class speakers that transform your life. And Every ticket option that we have comes with a complimentary ticket to give to someone else in need. Because I'm a big believer that the greatest purpose in life you'll ever have is serving the person you used to be. But in order for you to serve somebody you used to be, you have to become more than you are now. So you can check that out at transformyourlife.com.
Awesome. Man, we'll make sure to put that in the show notes. It has been an absolute pleasure, honor to be with you today, Stephen. Looking forward to whatever this looks like next for our friendship. I'm sure this isn't the last time we get to chat. So
not at all. We're fast friends and family now, my friend.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks so much for being here. I appreciate your time, and absolutely have a blessed rest of your day, brother.
Sounds good. Take care.
Thanks for joining us on today's episode of the Anthem of the Adventurer. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you follow along with all of our adventures on Instagram at the Anthem of the Adventurer and on our blog, anthemoftheadventurer.com. We'll have our monthly adventure challenges continuing into the new year, and we have just a few episodes left of the podcast before it takes a bit of a rest starting in 2022. So if you're listening to this in November and December of 2021, make sure that you sign up for all of our email updates so you don't miss a thing while the team and I write the book. So enjoy the last few episodes, sign up for all the email updates, and we'll see you out there.